Hormone harmony. You guys know here at the Pretty Little Podcast, we are no stranger to a little bit of PMS, a little bit of a bad mood every now and then, my own mood swing. I know it sounds crazy, but it happens to even us. And sometimes one of us or both of us, but usually one of us might stay up all night long. We're just a little bit of sleeplessness, some bad sleep quality, just not feeling super great in my body. And it's a lot easier to manage this and manage PMS and everything that comes with it thanks to Hormone Harmony.
Happy Mammoth is the company that created Hormone Harmony, and it is dedicated to making women's lives easier, which is what we're all about here. Always looking for little secret tips and tricks. Hormone Harmony has zero sugar and is gluten-free, dairy-free, non-GMO, and third-party tested. The biggest benefit, though, is that I'm just starting to feel like myself again. That's what women have mentioned over and over again in their reviews. And clock this, there are over 17,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony.
And we are even one of them. Two of them even. So, Road Warriors, for a limited time, you can get 15% off on your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code Pretty Little Podcast at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code Pretty Little Podcast for 15% off today. Hello and welcome back to the Pretty Little Podcast. We're your hosts.
I'm Phoebe.
And I'm Caroline. And today we are recapping season 3, episode 14 of Pretty Little Liars, titled She's Better Now.
Oh, how could I forget?
How could we forget our big combo?
We always
about
do this.
Posty.
We'll always like make a big deal about what the episode name is in the previous
and then we
episode.
Completely wipe it from our memory.
Seriously. I do think following. That I just compartmentalize our conversations between when I
well, when they we, are so dark.
When
like,
we
you
have
can't really
exactly.
carry it with you.
When we have them and then when I go to edit, because I was like thinking, surely I'll remember how far we got in the Gossip Girl episode. And then I could not remember one thing that we talked about.
No, not one. And I listened to our whole. Well, I stopped at the advice part, but our Patreon podcast episode, which actually is quite funny.
Thank you. A lot of editing went into it.
Yeah, I could tell. But I liked it. And that, well, we should announce maybe. So starting next month on our Patreon, we are going to change it up a bit. So if you are on tier one, which is our passenger princesses, and that's $3 a month, you get a podcast every month. On top of like just our normal episodes. And then if you are tier two, you get two episodes. That doesn't change for you. And then tier three gets three. So if you want the recap episodes, that's always going to be like a tier three thing. But yeah, so we're going to open that up a little bit. So hopefully if you guys are interested in joining, you can. So we saw the Barbie movie twice since it's been out. It's been out for 86 I don't want to do math, but like
math.
It's been out for a few days, but not a week. So
no, it's Monday, so it's been out for four nights.
And kind of how I look at my life at this point is like before me seeing that movie and after. Oh my god,
I feel that way about a lot of Greta. Like every Greta Gerwig movie is like. It just kind of changes the way that I like am walking through the world. And I'm like, we should just be more gentle with each other.
Yeah. It's like a formative movie for me. It's like it's like a sacred text.
It bothers me when stuff like this happens. When it's like, to me, it's so clear, the importance.
Yeah.
And then you have, not to like group everybody together, but a lot of men who just like, because it's the Barbie movie, they're never going to see it.
Yeah.
And even the ones that are seeing it, they're not letting it sink in.
No.
They've already discounted it before they've even gone in.
And here's what I want to say. If you're a man and you don't want to see the Barbie movie, or you go and you think it's stupid and it's a man-hating whatever.
Or if you just think it's not for you and you're just going to ignore
it. If you think anything like that, you're fragile. You're too fragile. You're actually too weak. Okay? You're not a strong man. And if you're a girl that thinks that, then you're a fucking pick me bitch. Okay? And I mean that. And I'm saying it with my chest.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying it with my chest. I was ready to go to war today at work. I was like, if I get on a call today and somebody has one negative word to say about the Barbie movie, I'm signing off. Like, you will hear me roar and then you will hear me log off. won't be there anymore. I'm sorry. I had no room for it. And luckily, there was no negative feedback. There are some people that were like noticeably silent during the conversation. Noticeably silent, but not exactly flying under the radar for some of us. But most people liked it. I haven't really come into contact with anyone who didn't like it except for, I guess, Maddie.
Yeah, and she told... We haven't, like, really discussed it because I get annoyed. But she said that... I think that she thought that... I don't... Maybe she didn't see the trailer. Maybe she doesn't know anything about Greta Gerwig. But she was, like, such a Barbie stan when she was a kid. And she watched all of those Barbie movies.
Yeah.
So I think that she thought it was just going to be, like, a Barbie movie.
And I think, yeah, there are a lot of... Well, because I will say... The trailer does not give the plot away. It is not clear. We know she like goes to the real world, but genuinely going into the movie, I was like, I have no clue what it's about, like what the plot is. It could be stupid and campy, but then I saw that Greta Gerwig was directing it. So I was like, oh my God, this is going to mean something to me. Mm-hmm. Like not only is it going to be beautiful to look at, but it's going to mean something to me. And I think what it is, and you kind of maybe talked about this, that there's like a renaissance of girlhood like going on. Where I feel like we just want to be allowed to like our silly little things.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's the summer of the Eras tour and yes. This. And also someone mentioned on the thing that we put on our story that Love on Tour ended this weekend mm-hmm. at some point. And that's been a tour that's been going, I mean, 2.5 years. Like yeah. He has been touring nonstop.
Which is insane.
And he really has. And I'm not like a Harry Styles stan. I'm a fan. Mm-hmm. I went to 2 shows on the tour. I really love his music and I loved One Direction. But what I will say as someone who doesn't feel necessarily in the stanhood necessarily, looking at the community that he created at the shows that I went to and then also online, those are really special shows. Mm-hmm. And he put out this video that I guess the entire tour he had filmers like out on people who were camping out.
Aww.
And talking. And it's just like these girls, like it starts with these 2 girls like coloring in chalk as they're like waiting mm-hmm. to get into the pit. And they're talking about how they skipped like this one girl skipped her last anthropology class. And the other one's like, Harry Styles is more important than anthropology, girl. Don't worry about it. And it's just like them all. There was this dance that everybody did during one part of the song. And at one point he learned how to do it. And he like surprised, but like, one random girl did it at one show mm-hmm. and then it became this whole thing where like,
yeah,
I know that we credit Taylor Swift with the dressing up at concerts, mm-hmm. but I think it did start with Harry Styles. Harry Styles was the first concert I ever went to where people were like, what are you wearing to the Harry Styles concert? Yeah. And I think that Taylor Swift has kind of piggybacked. She didn't mean to. And it's different. People are like really mm-hmm. getting niche. But I think it's the same vibe of just like girls that are allowed to be so excited
yes.
about this thing that they love.
Right.
And it's beautiful.
Like, it is. And it's just girls are like always taught to just be smaller. And there's a line in the Barbie movie and it's like, I'm so sick of seeing girls like twisting themselves and not trying to be likable or mm-hmm. whatever, or trying to like be yeah. palatable. And it's so true. And I think that's something that like all of us can kind of relate to. And it's like, we just want to like things. And for so long, it was like, if you like something too much or too loud, then that was like, people were going to make fun of you. Like, mm-hmm. because they could, because it was easy, because boys could say, you're such a girl. Like, that's so, you know, and it became like this bad word. Like, all these girls want, like, that's where pick me's basically came from. Like, I'm not like other girls. Like, and I feel like TikTok's kind of doing this too, I think, where we're realizing, like, what the fuck are we doing?
There's
like,
something
this girls like, hating other girls thing.
There, it, like, being a girl is so special.
Yeah, let's just, like, celebrate it together. And when you see a girl who's, like, being a girl, like when I see like a girl who's filming a get ready with me and it has 9 likes on TikTok, you better fucking believe I'm mm-hmm. commenting and saying, oh my God, you look beautiful. Yeah. Like, and I'm not the only one who's doing that. Mm-hmm. And that's what's so like going to the comments. Sometimes it's like, I don't know. I see a lot of positive comments outweighing the negative ones on people's stuff. I mean, I also see a lot of negative ones on a lot of stuff too, but like, it makes me feel like we can have pretty girls and smart girls and creative girls and all these and girls who don't feel like they belong and whatever. And they can all, instead of seeing each other as competition, see each other as like
a team.
A team, yeah. And like, good for you. And I'm excited to watch you on your journey. And like, I know you're cheering me on mine. I don't know.
Greta, you retweeted it, but I read the interview with Greta Gerwig where she talked about girlhood and like she just has this interest in women. And
I'll
like,
read that one.
Yeah. She says something about how like there's something aching.
Yes,
about
that's the exact thing I'm thinking of, because that is what it's an ache. When I watch her movies, I feel an ache. And Phoebe and I have been having a lot of off the record convos about just like growing up. And we're all like, our whole family is kind of in like a new season of life. Like,
yeah,
Phoebe just graduated college. Lily just graduated high school. My mom is dad are about to be like empty nesters for the first time. I just got married. Like, there are a lot of new chapters that are beginning and chapters that are closing. And we've all been feeling kind of like nostalgic, but like in a sad way.
Achy way.
Achy way.
Exactly what she says in the Barbie movie.
So she said, I step back and I think, oh, you continue to be interested in women. This is something you're fascinated by. That ache of contradictions, of never being able to totally bridge that gap between adulthood and childhood, is present in this movie too. It's this overflowing sense of joy, and then it's also, I can never get back there.
I know.
And that is what it is. It's the never grow up. Like, and that's like, what it is.
And it's so, I think it is specific to women, because not that men don't have to give stuff up as they grow up, but I think that women find themselves tying themselves into knots and having to sacrifice pieces of themselves that makes it harder to grow. Like, when I think about my mom, like, she went right into marriage after she graduated college, and like, I don't think she would look at it as giving up a time of her, but like, she had to make a decision of whether she was going to start maturing at that rate or if she was going to take another, like, I don't know. It really has been wrecking me. And also just like a yearning for childhood. And this isn't necessarily with the women piece, but like Noah Kahan's album and like just those feelings of like feeling stuck. And then also so like, especially being in your hometown, it's like, I feel so stuck here, but also it's not what I remember. And like, I'm in the place that I'm yearning for.
Right. But it's not, this not,
and it's never going to be that again.
Yeah.
And sorry, that guys, is, we're getting like,
I know we're not being like really like feeling funny, that funny, hard. Funny. And the movie is very much that, like, and it's just so beautiful. It's so good, you guys. And it's so fucking funny.
The
like,
movie is what I would call
my favorite Sublime. Movie ever. Sublime. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. Like, and I love this idea that I put in my own head, which is that he came up with a different word every time and did it.
That's what Dan and I were talking about the day. Cause I was like, I want every outtake. I want to see going and saying, I mean, there's nothing funnier than Sublime, but thinking
Sublime.
Of Ryan Gosling I going know. Back there and being like, I got it.
Well, and I'm also like, I'm loving watching his interviews too, because he's so sweet.
And the fact that he's
Did
a girl dad.
The one where he watched America Ferrera's TED Talk, and like he's answering a question that somebody asked, and America Ferrera is next to him. And he's like, well, I mean, it's kind of like what you said in your TED Talk. And she's like, wait, you watched my TED Talk? He's like, I love your TED Talk. And he's like, when you say, and he like literally quotes it. And she's like, oh my God. He's like, yeah, I watch it all the time. And it was like, he wasn't like fucking around.
And he is the definite, like
he knew he had a specific thing to pull out, but he hadn't told her that before. How sweet is that? Like, he just like, kept it to himself, but then it applied.
Who Ken becomes is Ryan Gosling.
And it's like, and Ryan Gosling is like the more evolved version of that too. But it's like, he is non-threatening man at energy, you know, which is how Ken starts and ends, I think.
And like, he like gets the movie.
Yeah.
Which I don't understand how people don't.
I don't either. If you didn't get it, you should probably just go see it again.
You should probably like go back to high school.
Yeah.
And like take a couple English classes.
It's just brilliant. It was brilliant. My only complaint was that I was too short for me.
I agree.
I wanted more.
People who are going into the movie thinking it's like this feminist, and it is, but to me the more like moving parts and the more important parts of the movie are just the part, like the mother-daughter relationship that comes out of it, and
that's really the
tenderness of life, not just girlhood, not just manhood, but just like, and that's what Greta Gerwig is so good at capturing, like the driving montage in Lady Bird. Like that would be boring if anybody else had done it, but she figured out a way to make it this heart-wrenching moment of the movie.
And it's like these ordinary moments that people can really,
it's honestly like what Taylor Swift can do, of like she hyper specific things that are universal and make like things that you don't think anybody else is experiencing because no one else is talking about it. But
totally.
Yeah, loved it.
Anyway, it was literally everything I dreamt it would be. I had hyped it up so much, you guys. Like,
and it lived up.
There was a lot of room for disappointment, but there wasn't. And then we saw Oppenheimer, and I will say, if you're going to do it in one day, you need to see Oppenheimer first.
Yeah, I agree.
Because I was spent. Once we got to Oppenheimer, I was like, I mean, it's over 3 hours long. It is a long fucking movie.
It's really long, and it is dry. It's beautiful. The acting is dense. Great.
Like, you have to be paying attention.
Like, and also, like, you probably need to, like, read a fucking U.S. history book before you go in. Yeah,
maybe if you could go repeat 10th grade history class and before then you see the movie.
Be great.
Because that is, they do expect you to just know a lot. Like, I left the movie and I had to, like, Google so much, and maybe that's just us, but I don't think
No, it's not, because I was talking to Sarah about it, and she was like, and she said it in a great way, and I think I said this to Dan when we left. I was like, I know that I, like, know what happened.
Yeah.
But I couldn't explain what that movie was about to anybody else.
No, but what I thought was so interesting, we talked about this, was the end of the movie. Like, this whole thing with Robert Downey Jr.'s character was excellent, and, like, it was, like, I needed more of that, like
the drama.
Because,
but also like the end of the very end of the movie where he, I saw a side by side today of, sorry, spoilers. It is history, but just, I guess
it is history. Did happen, and you should know what happened.
Just like we did. And that includes names and acronyms.
Yeah. Oh yeah. You better believe that means acronyms. Okay. You might as well just Google acronyms and read every single one that comes up on Wikipedia and do flashcards before you go.
Otherwise, what's the point?
You might as well actually Google top 50 white brunette actors in America,
because that's who Christopher Nolan hired,
and then print out their pictures and study them,
but with their name,
with their name, because that was one of my complaints about the movie.
I didn't know who anybody was. No, except
I was like, that's Josh Peck.
Exactly.
I was like, that's Will Stronghold from Sky High.
Yes.
Here's what I want to say about this, though. Like, I feel like we could have done a little bit of penny pinching in that area. We had, like, so many well-known actors in that movie that were so underutilized.
I agree. I'm also...
And everybody was in makeup. It's like, hire someone that looks like him, dude. If you're gonna, like... It was like... I'm sorry, the secondary characters don't need to be in 10 hours also, of makeup.
We don't need them.
No.
Because guys.
It's called being concise.
Christopher Nolan, if you're going to assume that we know the middle name of every person who made the atomic bomb, then you can also assume that we know that they did all the math to make it. We don't need to watch them have class.
No.
Every single class session that they had where they're like fucking up and then getting it right and all this stuff. I don't need to see the fight between him and his neighbor professor who basically doesn't even come back in the end. I don't need to see that. And then honestly,
there were a lot of characters that were just like Rami Malek popping up at the end. I was like, what the fuck? Like, he had a great role, but he was on the screen for 15 minutes.
We could have, instead of dealing with all the classroom stuff, we could have understood who Rami Malek was.
Yeah.
And then,
because we literally do not see him.
Because his monologue at the end, that is like a climactic part of the movie where he just like completely shit talks.
It is
Strauss.
Excellent. Yeah.
And then, but the best part of the movie is the end when we see the conversation that Oppenheimer had with Einstein. Literally, he was the only, I was literally like, oh my God, finally someone I know.
I know. I also was like, wait, he was alive? I literally, up until Friday, believe that Albert Einstein was like,
we also
from like 1200 BC or something.
We
I don't know.
We also missed an end credit
scene.
There's an end credit scene.
Oh my, I'm sorry. That's how I know it was made by a man. That is so fucking rude. You made us sit through 3.5 hours of text of that, of just men, and then you're going to make us sit through your whole fucking credits of your 8,000 men you cast in the fucking movie for an end credit? Oh,
yeah,
my.
Here's what it was.
Audacity.
All I'll say is I'm making up the timeline right now. I have no idea when this happened.
Okay.
I couldn't tell. Like Caroline, I also didn't know when Albert Einstein lived or died. So that definitely means I don't know when E equals MC squared fucking happened.
He just seemed like, I just felt like.
And so, we're not alone. Jenny Slate's grandmother literally thought he was still alive.
But I didn't.
No, I know, but like anybody could know anything.
And anybody could not know anything.
Exactly. And so,
but I just felt like the things that he figured out, whatever those things were, we knew about before then.
Well, I think this was the point, because there's a part where Oppenheimer's like, Einstein's done like discovering stuff.
Mm-hmm. And he's certainly old.
The end credit scene is Einstein sitting at his kitchen table figuring out E equals MC squared. And the video I saw of it, everybody like gasped in the theater. I'm like, calm down. We all heard it before.
Yeah.
He didn't just come up with that.
No, this isn't live. Yeah, this is, everyone's like, yeah. It's like, hey, this isn't live. Oh my God, I would have loved a few stages just to tell them that. What? Guys, seriously? Am I the only one who, what the fuck? Okay, that happened a long time ago. This whole movie happened a long time ago. Notice none of them had cell phones. Yeah. I also think Emily Blunt was underutilized.
I agree. Except
in the end, she
also made the movie.
That's the thing. In the end, we had these like, okay, also, I don't even know if we needed Florence Pugh that much. I know like Trinity we did, I guess, because that was what he named.
Yeah. But I agree. And here's what we certainly didn't need. Her to be fucking naked.
Her boobs were what was on screen more than her face in the whole movie.
I literally was like, cause
why was she dead on top of him having sex with him, staring at Emily Blunt's eyes? Naked. Why was he naked?
Also, hey, quick cue. We've had 50 million sex scenes where women haven't had to have their boobs out.
Literally.
And it's been fine. We've understood what's happening. So this didn't.
Why did she? Yeah.
Did you need it to be rated R and this was the only way you're going to get there? Like,
literally.
I'm confused.
No, I know. It was.
And Florence Pugh, not that I would ever. I'm not shaming. I'm just saying, were you not like, is this necessary?
I know. Well, I would have felt like that kind of. I was like, oh,
are you sure?
Like, I know. It's really.
You want
like,
me sitting up so they're like out?
I know.
Christopher Nolan's like,
he's like, precisely.
But here's what I liked about Oppenheimer. The scene where Emily Blunt refuses to shake that man's hand.
loved that.
But
one.
Hey, here's how I know Emily Blunt's perfect and was that scene's great, because I don't know who that man was or why she didn't shake his hand.
I do.
Which one was he?
It was that guy who had the accent. And he was like the really smart one, but then he ultimately said that he couldn't.
Oh, they got in a fight like outside of the, and yeah. He had to ask him to stay, and he like didn't want to, right?
No, he like had the thick eyebrows.
I know what he looks like.
Okay, and he, I think, I don't remember. Maybe he wasn't Russian, but anyway, he had a thick accent, and then he was like in the hearing or whatever, and they were like, "Will you basically?" I think it was like, we'd be like a character witness for him or something like that. Mm. And he was like, I can't do that. And then he left and he was like, I'm sorry. Good luck to him, and left.
Oh, okay.
And so like he didn't have his back, and that's why she didn't do
it. I see. So like that scene is great. But
I wanted to know more about her. I was like, this woman is sad. What is going on?
The only thing that we knew about her in the entire movie is that she was an alcoholic.
Yeah, but also like they didn't even really elaborate. I was like,
every fucking scene, it's like, oh, she's drinking. She's wasted.
She's on the bottle.
Oh my God.
But it was like, but like
she
really
dropped her purse and there's a flask.
Yeah,
in there.
But it, like, what I was like, are we gonna like say? They never like say anything about it.
And so like you didn't need to be like, we could have probably, once again, Christopher Nolan, you are expecting the audience to know everything.
Like, I
want
to know what happened with her. And like, why did she become like that? And yeah. Like, what was going on in
probably
her life?
Probably because her husband is the father of the atomic bomb and was cheating on her with a 20-year-old
woman.
Yeah,
and it was
woman.
Like her fourth marriage or something.
But I did, the last scene after he talks to Einstein and he just stands there and he's like seeing the bombs go off in his head. that scene, and then I saw someone do a side by side of that and him like looking over the pond in the first scene of the movie where he's looking at the puddle, and two raindrops happen and create the exact same waves that the bombs created.
Oh, that's cool.
That was pretty. Einstein basically was like, I think Einstein knew what Oppenheimer was gonna, like, I think he knew that once enough people knew about the atomic bomb, it was gonna be out of Oppenheimer's hands. Because Oppenheimer went up to Einstein and was like, hey, like, remember that thing I told you we might be able to do to, like, create the most deadly bomb in the world? So I think that that's going to work. And that's why I'm here. And I think Einstein was like, it's kind of like Pandora's box. I also thought the Prometheus thing that they did at the beginning, I thought that was sick. I think thought that was so cool the way that they talked about that. And then, like, he's kind of like our Prometheus.
Wait, what?
Because for me, I might be saying his name wrong. He's the guy who Zeus gave, or he like created fire on Earth. And so he is like going to be punished eternally for it. And that's like what Oppenheimer did.
Yes.
And so I think Einstein says, he doesn't bring that up, but he says something like that. Like it's out of your hands now, and you have, history will decide how you remembered. And right now, they might not like you, they might hate you, but eventually they'll...
Yeah,
be singing your praises. And that's when we get the like flash forwards to him. I think he got some sort of prize.
Yeah, he did.
But I'm also like, I don't know where I land on Oppenheimer. I like, part of me is like, oh, this is what happens when you let nerds do whatever the fuck they want with as many resources as they want.
Yeah, we do. I'm going to say something. We do give nerds a lot of leeway.
Just because they're smart.
We're like, oh, you're trust. I'm sorry. Just because they're smart. Hey, actually, the worst criminals are usually like geniuses.
Hey, ever heard of a mad scientist?
Ever? Oh, I have. I sure have. Albert Einstein. Okay. But here's what I want to say. Like, just because you are smart doesn't mean that you are going to do the right thing with that information. But what I also want to say is, like, I'm kind of confused because, like, it was a race to figure it out. If we hadn't figured it out, someone else would have.
I do agree with that.
And like,
and I also read that in the town, even though they had to like evacuate a ton of people, but they only evacuated so many people out of that radius. And before they let off the test, they didn't tell the surrounding towns, and the radiation affected them.
Yeah.
So it's like, we just,
that's the other thing. I'm like, how is there anywhere that we can just set off an atomic bomb?
There isn't.
Like, how do you just test one of those?
America is Icarus.
for real. Anyway, so those are the movies that we saw. I really want to see Theater Camp. When is it gonna be in normal theaters?
This week.
Wait, where? It's in theaters?
In Nashville. We have like an independent theater.
This is annoying. I need to see it.
I know.
Okay. Anyway, all right. Well,
do we live stream it?
Yeah. Do you mind literally live streaming it? That'd be fucking great. Okay, we have a few things to discuss. Somebody asked, will dad come on the podcast?
Should we call him?
No. No, because we're in a time crunch. But probably not.
Yeah. Have you guys like been hearing about the same Chris Connell that we know?
The interest he would have in doing that is quite minimal.
Honestly, we could bring him on to talk about Oppenheimer.
Literally, he could do a special episode where he just explains.
Because Lily and I went, like, when we got home from everything, we like started talking about it, and Dad was like, "Well, when I went to Truman's house, he like I was like,
right,
okay,
of course,
Dad, just okay. In the future, don't say it like when I went. Like, he's your buddy.
Yeah.
You can say like when I visited. I mean, it probably has a name like fucking Monticello does, but anyway,
doing whatever the hell it is they do in Monticello."
That's what Lily has our house.
I know.
Named
I saw.
As on Find My Friends.
Find My Friends, yeah. So anyway, just like kind of doubt it, but I'm wondering, should we, for like every new season of Vanderpump, should we have mom like do a little Bravo special app?
Yeah, I think that would be good.
Just to get everybody excited, because I know I am excited. I finished Never Have I Ever. I loved it. Finished what's come out so far this summer, I Turned Pretty. Loved it. Have you watched yet?
Mm-mm.
You need to watch it.
Yeah.
This is so dumb. Just download some episodes so that you can watch it on the plane.
No, I know. No. I just haven't. I really have only watched like the amount of TV I've watched this weekend after, of course, the
8 hours of film that we watched this weekend. I watched like 10 minutes of Vanderpump this weekend. Okay. So I haven't been consuming a lot of television.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Good for you. You're limiting your screen time. Stop rubbing it in.
No, that's not true.
No, that I didn't say that. I didn't say that. Have you read any books?
I'm currently reading Beautiful World. Beautiful World, Where Are You? By Sally Rooney. And I'm also reading Cannery Row. But I needed something with a little levity to it. I'm only reading it because I'm trying to, like, balance. I'm trying to do, like, because I wasn't an English major. So there are books out there that I need to read. And I love John Steinbeck.
Maybe I should make you a reading list.
Yeah, that would be good. East of Eden's on my list, but it's just, like, a little daunting because it's so big. But there are so many quotes that I love from it, and I haven't read it. Mm-hmm. So, I love... Now that you're not trying to be perfect, maybe you can try to be good.
Oh, wow. I don't think I've read that book.
Wow.
And I'm probably not going to.
So I try to balance, but I
decided I'm done reading anything I don't want to read.
That's fair. I just need to be a little more well-read.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Well, I mean...
And I romanticize being an intellectual. You know what I mean?
Because you're Aria at your core.
No, because I'm not. You know what I mean?
No.
I yearn to be.
Phoebe, what? No, you are. Because so she yearns to be as well, believe me. The best book she's read is The Great Gatsby. Like, she's 16.
That's fair. It's fair.
She's not deep.
I don't know. It's just like when I just want to be Kat Cohen.
Okay.
Honestly, because she balances it all.
Yeah, no, she does.
Because she's funny, wild.
Wild. And beautiful. Also so smart. Fashionable.
Like, she and, like, her friendship with Pat. A good, like,
writer.
Like, their friendship is, like, perfect. But I'm also like, what do you guys, actually talk about?
Oh, my God.
Other than boys, sex, fucking, dating, and love.
I think that's all they talk about. I think what we hear is what they talk about when we don't hear them, too.
Because...
Do you guys ever wonder that about us?
Because actually, Caroline and I don't talk outside of the pod.
We don't. We save it all. We save up all our words for this time because otherwise, like, I mean, what would we have to say, honestly?
But yeah, I'm trying to be like her. Like, I want to be able to, like, quote Tinder is the night and also be the funniest person alive.
Yeah. That's kind of also how I feel about Mindy Kaling. Which, like, have you read her books? Mm-hmm. We've talked about this. You need to. Wait, there was one more thing on here. Oh, Birds and Bees. But not like the sex talk way. Mom wanted us to discuss the bird on our porch and also the bees from the sunflower field. So this weekend, we went to a sunflower field. We were living our, like, Tumblr and Insta girl lives. And one thing I don't think any of us really accounted for, and I am blaming Phoebe for this because of her name.
That's so fucked up.
Listen, if there were a bunch of geese there, you would have been like, Caroline? You could have warned a bitch.
Scramby.
What? Scramby. So there were fucking bees everywhere, you guys. Like, we're trying to pick sunflowers, and I'm telling you, like, it was, like, inevitable that we'd get stung, I felt like. I felt like I was walking into the lion's den, if you
and
will.
And let me just say, though, none of us did get stung.
No.
But, and we were, like, I mean, especially me, I was, like, fighting through these sunflowers.
I was really scared for my life.
Me too, but I was like, wait, but they're not doing anything.
I know. And then my mom was like, you just have to, like...
You just have to say, Scramby.
Scramby. You need to just knock them off. And I'm like, okay, make them angry. You mean make them angry? And then
that's
Lily...
That's historically not what
Lily
to do.
Being like, no, guys, we really, this is, like... I love the bees. Like, I was like, okay, eat one then, bitch. Put one on your finger, give it a kiss. Know, if you love them so much.
This is their home. They're doing their job.
She's like, this is their home, you know? I'm like, are you saying about fucking sharks too? Shut up. Shut up. Humans rule the world. Just kidding.
I just saw Oppenheimer.
This is my villain origin story, is the bees and the fucking sunflowers. Something I've dreamt about doing my whole life, and I find out it's dangerous. I find out I'm in harm's way.
I do like that we're like, oh, it was so dangerous. Everyone was fine. I don't think we heard one person get stung while we were
there. No, but I was thinking about getting stung and about ticks, because we're also, like, I was fighting through also this foliage. And I was like, I didn't even, like, you know, I was not dressed for the occasion, we learned. My dress, it was also very humid, very hot. I sweat through my dress. It was gorgeous. but, like, we were also getting pictures taken here. So we wanted to, like, look cute. But then we literally were, like, hiking. Phoebe turns around and goes, I didn't know we were hiking today. And that is what it was.
Yeah.
I should have worn my Hokas.
Literally.
I should have worn cleats. dig into the dirt.
Mom was like, make sure we all look, like, I was like, Mom, what are you wearing? And I was like, in jeans. And then she was like, a blue dress. And I was like, okay, so
yeah,
we're like going to do an outdoorsy thing, kind of.
And I mean, I didn't realize just how outdoorsy it would be. And it really solidified for me, I'm not a nature girl.
Mm-mm.
Mm-mm. I can handle like a walk. I can handle a walk.
In the suburbs, in the urban suburban. Yeah,
or on a trail that's been cleared for me already.
It's also paved.
On a good temperature day.
Mm-hmm.
That matters, of course.
And not crowded.
Definitely not in a crowded time. I also need to make sure that like,
you know,
it fits like seamlessly into my day with little to no effort.
You know what's hell on earth?
What?
And what's giving me like Myrtle Beach vibes these days? The market in Charleston.
Yeah, it's been that way.
I know, but it's like I've especially been noticing recently.
Well, they're really big on batch parties now down there.
Which I saw a really tough to swallow bachelorette party. Really? When I was down there. I was like, the bride was... I'm being such a bitch. You know when you just like look at a group of people and you know that they're just like not miserable. Cool.
Oh, yes.
And you know, like, I don't know, they were all in matching.
It's sort of how people look at you, Phoebe.
They were in matching t-shirts, of course, but they were like burgundy, like called Charleston burgundy with like the gold
writing
and V-necks. And the mom was there.
And like, so their ladies cut.
Yeah, so they're all in those. And then they're just, like, regular, like, Old Navy shorts, sneakers, which is, like, fine. But I just feel like for your bachelorette party, it's, like, a different vibe. And the bride is in a white one, of course, and still the gold writing. And she had, like, a slicked back, tight ponytail.
No, no.
So, like, it's, like, hey, girl, I know that you're, like, tourists in the city and that's what you're... You guys look like tourists and that's what you're dressing for, but... This is your bachelorette party.
Guys, I want to say something. If any of you have a bachelorette party coming up in Charleston, especially, but or anywhere, and you're like helping plan it, you're planning your outfits, maybe you're the bride, message us. Message
yeah.
me.
Yeah. And we will
help you because
we'll make you Pinterest boards.
We went to
$5.
We went to Nashville for my bachelorette party and like, it had the potential to be so
cheesy,
chuggy, cringy, cheesy, cozy, but it was not because
I forgot that Amber says cozy.
Yeah, you fucking bitch. but it wasn't because we just didn't do it that way. So it's possible just not do it that way.
I just think that we have so much at our fingertips that you can, regardless of who you are at your core, you can make Queer Eye is the perfect example of this. Anybody, if they put thought into their look, or not that you need to.
And by the way, what we're wearing right now, like, I feel like we sound like, mostly Phoebe, sounds really mean right now. People who live in glass houses shouldn't throw stones. I'm just going to say that about me and Phoebe right now.
I have freaking bulletproof glass on my house.
I bet.
Anyway, so I just am saying, like, I just, like, you are going to want, the like, you, I don't know.
Wait, but so what I'm saying for the bachelorette thing, what if, you need to get more specific, okay? Google a theme. Mm-hmm. Let's try martinis and bikinis, okay? And then if you have friends that are, like, going to be really into wearing a bikini, tell them all to wear a bikini, whatever, and then put that into your Pinterest and see what comes up.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? You're going to get a whole new slew of ideas that are actually unique and cool with Etsy links. And then you can do like, my friend did this and she did like button downs in different colors that the girls could just like leave open to wear over their bikinis.
So cute.
And then the girls will wear that again, you know?
Yeah.
And like everyone will feel, you don't have to worry as much about size, like, and what everybody will look like. They'll feel comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And then if your friends are not the type that are going to want to wear a bikini, but you still want to do this, you could get them those fun like beach shirts that are like long and they have like the bikini on them and you can have like a funny thing with that, like,
mm-hmm.
And that's cute and fun and funny. Yeah. And it's not like,
exactly, whatever. I think that like,
just get a little more specific with your searches.
And there are a lot of not that you need to pay these companies, I just mean you can look on their Instagram. There's so many companies that plan bachelorette parties now. We got a lot of ideas for Caroline's.
Go rip it off. Yeah,
where we were like, oh, like they put cowboy hats on little Tito's bottles,
right?
Like,
that was cute. Let's do it.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Yeah. Anyway, I don't know why.
Yeah, I saw that bachelorette party, and then like Nobody knows which direction. They need to actually make those streets. And I know that it would be, I know they can't, but like they just shouldn't, there should not be traffic on those streets.
No, I know.
Especially going between, because no, the people in the market who've never been there think that they can just.
I know. It's really dangerous. I think they're probably going to have to change it soon.
Yeah. But anyway, it's giving, it's not giving Charleston glam.
No, it's not. But I don't know how we started talking about it, but I do think we need to merge into our rotations.
All right.
So I'm Dream. So I'm going to go first.
Okay.
Okay, guys, my Dream rotation will not shock you. We are starting off strong with Greta Gerwig, who literally
been in our rotations before.
Oh, yeah. I would literally want to just like record every single thing that she said during that rotation and just keep it for me, because I feel like she would just have the most prolific things to say, but also funny, but like in a smart way. And she like wouldn't speak just because she felt like she wanted to like take up space. You know, she'd really like think. Anyway, her and then Issa Rae, who is the most beautiful woman on earth besides Margot Robbie. Her smile, like,
and funny.
I know. When she comes out and she says, because they're dream houses, motherfucker. And it's like beeped out. I loved it. I love. Or she the plays the president.
When
one of the Barbies goes, come on, the president's here.
I love that. Or when Will Ferrell says, you can just call me mother. And she says, I'm not going to do that.
I love it. It's so good. And then also Ryan Gosling. I love him. He has maintained his position as a heartthrob in my life, like forever.
I'm glad we're both in this club, because when there were doubters when he was announced as Ken,
there were, and I will say, it's like jarring to see him with the spray tan and the bleached hair and the like little bit of eyeliner and stuff in pictures. But when you, within the context of the movie, like everyone has it, because like that's what the dolls looks like, and it's not, yeah. But I think he looks sexy right now in real life with the way that he's showing up in these interviews and
his
stuff.
Suits, woo, so good.
The it's hair, honestly, the like sandy blonde.
It's such a shame that this promo tour had to be cut short.
I know.
And you
know
that they had like insane outfits ready for every premiere.
They had apparently their marketing budget was more expensive than their movie budget.
It was
and
like
they
over
already made back their entire movie budget in the first weekend.
They're projected to make the $1 billion club for a global box office, which means that because Margot Robbie was like, I went into studios to sell this movie and I said, it's going to make you $1 billion. And I might have been overselling it, but the movie had to get made.
Yeah.
And now she literally was not overselling it.
Oh,
it's going to make $1 billion.
I mean, literally, I am going to see it again. That is without a doubt. I will see it in theaters.
And I'm
going to
weep just as much. I think I weeped more the second time than I did the first time.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was weeping in anticipation, too, because I knew
the first montage got me more the second time around.
Well, and also I've seen, because you're looking a little differently. I've also seen so many girls talking about what the movies meant to them and what those moments made them think of and like whatever. And so I feel like I was carrying some of that with me into my second
viewing. And we got to see with our mom the second time.
Yeah.
And I saw a tweet that was like, you girls went into this movie thinking the movie was about them and it was about their
mom.
And
it was actually about their moms.
And it's just everybody. Your mom is just a girl.
I know. And
there's also that quote going around that is like, we were girls together of like because there's a park bench somewhere that some best friend dedicated to her childhood best friend.
Oh,
and it says we were girls together. And that's been like this big TikTok thing of like, again,
that's
just
I feel like everyone is going to see the movie.
The renaissance
we
of
were
girlhood
girls together.
Of just like, there's something really special about growing up with your girlfriends
and like any age. It was so cool seeing like old women and their pink with their girlfriends seeing this movie and
I
laughing.
Went out into the lobby to like get something and I saw this group of older women all in pink trying to figure out like how to best take a selfie with the Barbie thing in the back, and I was like,
did you offer to take it for them?
I was walking up to them to do it, and this fucking
man,
but he was a movie theater worker, so I would like to extend some respect. I know it was a busy weekend for you. But he did just like walk. I was like, and then by the time I like got past him, they had already taken the picture, but I was going to offer to take a picture for them. Mm-hmm. But, and then like all these little girls, like I was like,
you know what that makes me think of? I'm so sick of running as fast as I can.
Yeah, literally.
Wondering if I'd get there quicker if I was a man.
That's
literally what happened.
I'm shocked that wasn't in the movie.
I know. You would have literally gotten there quicker if there were him. Because he got there quicker than
yes,
you.
And there, this is me being a bitch. I was like trying not to get annoyed with the little girls in the movie.
They wouldn't shut the fuck up though.
I was like, in the beginning, I was like, this is so, but you know what that age of, children, not little girls.
Penis game age.
But like when they realize one thing got a laugh.
So they do it over and over again. And other kids start like riffing off of it.
Yeah.
And they like try to like say things for shock value.
Yeah. I just kept trying to like remember what the movie's about. And I was like, this is going to be a memory for them one day.
I know. I kept telling myself that too. And I think lots of people were telling themselves that. Yes. And I think that's why nobody like beat their asses.
And then after America Ferrera's monologue, yes, someone went, hell yeah.
Yeah.
And then our mom jumped up to clap.
Oh, I know. It was so cute. It was so cute. It really like, I mean, it really impressed our mom, which is always like, for me, it's like the litmus test. Yeah.
And like hearing the moms with the little girls walk, because it was like a big group of little girls, yeah, and all their moms. And the moms were like wiping tears away, walking out. And they're like, I did not know what that was going to be about. And it's like, that is like
every that Greta age Gerwig of mom, movie, though, that age of makes mom me feel like that when I leave.
Seeing that movie with a little girl.
I know.
Like, I'm like,
I decided my child will be collecting Barbies.
Yeah.
I don't care if they don't want
no,
to.
No, here's the thing. After that movie, my child can have whatever they want.
Yeah, I know. True.
And so can I.
And mostly so can I right now in my life because I'm a girl and I'm just going to enjoy being a girl. Thanks.
Yeah.
Let me. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you. Next.
Anyway, speaking of thank you next, what's your nightmare, Rotesh?
Now that I've said thank you next, there are two people that I would like to put on there, but I'm not going to.
No, because
I already, space. I already like have my rotation.
We didn't, by the way, talk about this on a normal episode, but we did mention the Ariana Grande, Ethan Slater thing on the Patreon.
What I'm not liking,
because that's when we found out,
is the stuff coming out about her being a homewrecker. Like,
dude,
she has a real history with breaking relationships.
I know. Well, then I saw relationships up. Someone tweeted like the TMZ said, actually, it's not true. And like they're devastated by this, and Dalton and Ariana are not split up, and Ethan and his wife are they're like devastated over it, and that it's not true.
I hope that's the case.
I hope it's the case, but I've only seen one thing that said it, and I haven't seen anything else.
I do feel like we kind of took it and ran with it.
I was like, come on, this can't. No, we did, but like,
and it's only because it was so
I'm
memeable.
Sorry, when I saw that E! News posted it, I was like, this must be true.
Yeah.
E! News can tell me anything they want. I believe them.
And people.
I fucking believe them. Vanity Fair, are you kidding? I believe you.
Yeah, 1,000%. All right, so my nightmare rotation starts with Doja Cat today because I've just been seeing some interactions with her and her fans that have rubbed me the wrong way.
She's a little bit out there now.
Yeah, like one
not
of
like the good out there.
You know those like
be
posters that people will like plaster on walls leading up to album releases in different mm-hmm cities. Those were up for her album. And it's a thing that people tear them off the wall
mm-hmm
to take them, to have them.
Yeah.
And she made a TikTok about how fucked up that is. What? And like, we spent a lot of money to get those like
Doja
put
Cat
up there and all this stuff. And I just want to say, we also then have, on the other hand, not that she's perfect, but Lana Del Rey working at a Waffle House, yeah, in Alabama. And this girl brought her, did you know there's a tunnel under Ocean Boulevard thing that she stole off the wall to Waffle House? And Lana Del Rey left the Waffle House to sign it in the parking lot.
Wow.
And was like, I can't believe you got this down. How'd you even get it down? Like, just like obsessed with it. Also, yeah, obsessed with this era of Lana Del Rey.
I know. I don't know.
Did
what's
you see the video
on,
of her kneeling
it
at the table singing Amazing Grace to an old man?
No.
And he is like, the old man is about to start weeping.
Oh,
like,
my God.
Because he starts singing. And then she starts singing.
No, stop.
It's giving Elvis. And anytime I see an old man with like a mustache.
She has Elvis on the brain. Can I just say that?
And Elvis has me on the brain because he's been showing up.
Oh.
And then also someone commented, I didn't read the whole thread, but basically like a fan was like, I love you. And I think she said something and then they're like, do you love us too? And she was like, I don't even know you. How can I love you? And like, it's just saying all this stuff about her fans. Like how she doesn't owe
them. You know
who
that sounds like to me? Renee Rapp.
It's just like, she's saying all this stuff and like the, I can't tell what's her, like, I don't know. I'm just not into it. I don't like when I am all for celebrity setting boundaries with their fans. It
fake
needs
it.
To happen.
Fucking fake it. But is my
do
opinion.
It respectfully. I mean, Harry Styles.
Miranda Lambert.
She's next. She's next, bitch. She's fucking next.
You're next.
She's also my. I saved best for fucking last. I guess this is my only second.
Oh
but
my god. Still,
yeah. But she. That video made me ill.
Oh. I thought that was the rudest fucking thing.
And did you
ever.
See the video of her taking a beach ball and then holding up something sharp and stabbing it?
No.
Are you a fucking second grade
you,
teacher?
I did not.
Are you a fucking second
That's what
grade
she's
teacher?
Like, though, that gave me those vibes when like getting in trouble in school from your elementary school teacher.
And it's because you're or like even in high school, it's because the teacher knows you're cooler than they
yes,
were
exactly.
at that age.
And I'm also like, hey, Miranda, those girls were front fucking row at your concert. They obviously love you and your music.
And they
and they were taking a photo of themselves with you in the background because
they
love you so
for
much.
These tickets.
And they want to get a picture with you and with their friend and they're making a memory at your concert, and isn't that the fucking point?
And
they weren't filming like that, like those people, they were taking a capturing a moment.
Then
they were being girls.
You look exactly, and she's not a girl's girl.
Hey, Miranda, you're not a girl's girl. A guy wore a shirt that said like take shots, not selfies, or something. And there's a video of Miranda, like, what does that shirt say? I love that. Take shots. I'm like, shut the fuck up.
Like, it's just this. On appreciation, and there are three examples of celebrities that are the opposite of this, and it shows because their fans are much better.
Mm-hmm.
Bruce Springsteen, he's on his like freaking victory lap tour right now, and the amount of videos and pictures coming from this tour where like people are taking selfies with him, and he'll like they'll take one picture and put their phone down, and he'll like come down and be like take another one, and
yeah.
they'll take pictures together, or like he's like. Taking like people buy him drinks and he'll like take them from the crowd and drink with them, or like he took a guy's guy brought his thesis to give to him.
Oh my God.
And he brought it and took a picture of it and like look like it did a joke about it. Harry Styles talks to the fans in the audience. Taylor Swift, there are videos of her. Someone under the Miranda Lambert video with the beach ball had all these gifs of Taylor Swift like performing and just like a beach ball coming across and her just like kicking it.
Yeah.
And like being excited about it. Or there's a picture of her on the Eras tour where she sees two girls taking a selfie like this and she poses in it.
Like, bitch, if you, I'm sorry.
Have fun. Do you
have
fun bone in your body?
If you don't like doing this and you don't like people and you don't like your fans and you don't like people seeing people have fun because you're a fucking bitter woman, then don't go on tour.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Then don't go on fucking tour.
I'm trying to sing some country damn music.
Yeah, girl, we know. We paid to be here.
Like, okay, cool.
Like, we're in the front fucking row. And then imagine being those. Do you think they left?
No, it makes me ill. It makes me actually, like, why?
Having to fight through the crowd to get out.
And you know,
the
like,
thought. And
honestly,
and everyone's making fun of. Oh my God.
Sometimes when you're in those, like, they might not have understood what exactly was going on down there. So they just heard Miranda yelling at these people.
And they were just mob mentality.
Exactly. And it's like the feeling that Taylor Swift had at the 2009 VMAs.
Oh my God.
When she thought.
An amazing comparison. This is a great nightmare.
Thank you. When she thought everybody was booing her. Like when Connie, does that not
Taylor even
know? Does that not kill you?
No, that makes you want to die.
Her being 19 and her her boyfriend being up there and him not doing anything.
Oh my God.
And Connie's up there and everybody starts booing and she's like, they must be booing me. Oh my God, I could run into the ocean. Anyway, last but not least, Idina Menzel.
Yeah, because what, girl, what?
What are you doing?
The TikTok.
It's a lot. Every
I've
time I get one, it's like a jump stare.
I know. And the song, like,
it's
I mean,
fine.
I guess it's stuck in my head, but I'm not going to play it.
No.
So I've, like, already heard it enough, I feel like, because you keep popping up doing these moves. Like, you're, like, coming out of the bushes doing these moves. And then I guess she, like, made an official
move.
She made, like, an official dance, and these girls were doing it and filming it, and she, like, duetted it, and she's, like, speaking the steps as if she's a fucking dance instructor. And the girls are, like, making fun of her, but she doesn't know that. She thinks they're, like, she's, like, yes, work, uh-huh, and turn and five, six. Like, I'm, like, if I'm you, I'm logging off because I'm embarrassed. People are taking this shit, and they are running with it, and I know... There's no such thing as bad press.
But there is.
But we are not laughing with you. We are laughing at you.
Mm-hmm.
Idina Menzel, I have a message for you. We're laughing at you.
And just to wrap it all up, I do also just want to say, I think it's pretty crazy Miranda Lambert hasn't made a statement.
Well, she doesn't think she did anything wrong.
It's so funny.
And she's continuing to do shit. She's getting more publicity now than she was fucking before.
It's so embarrassing for her.
No, I feel...
I'm never going to her fucking bar again.
No, fuck you, Miranda Lambert.
Also, if you ever do go to her bar, be careful because it's notorious for men being fucking terrible there.
Okay, there you go. Miranda Lambert's bar in Nashville, Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
Don't go there. And if you do, be very vigilant. Stay vigilant. And that's a good rule of thumb for anywhere you go.
Cover your drinks.
Connell University lesson is cover your drinks and watch your drinks and don't leave your drinks unattended and don't trust men. So which is a lesson for free lesson. From Connell University. All right. Well, I think we're ready to jump into the episode.
Yeah. Who's doing the recap?
Should we rock, paper, scissors for it?
Yeah, but do it live.
Okay. 2 out of 3?
Yeah.
All right. We're not going to get closer. I wish I could describe what I'm seeing right now from Phoebe as she holds the microphone and is getting prepared for this. Okay, here we go. Ready?
Wait, how do you do it?
Rock, paper, scissors, shoot. But I thought it was shoe forever. I was always like, rock, paper, scissors, shoe. For I was like, what the fuck is with the shoe? Like, no, for a long time. Anthony and I actually had our first kiss playing rock, paper, scissors. Our first kiss after high school. Okay, here we go. Ready?
Did he say, okay, if I can win a game of rock, paper, scissors?
Well, we just were playing it. You? He kept being like, I knew he was trying to kiss me like all night, but I was like, I told myself I wasn't going to. And he told me he also told himself he wasn't going to.
Caroline was actually saving her first kiss for marriage.
yeah.
Famously,
of course. And then we had like been hanging out all night and like
sinned.
Playing games. And there were like all these moments were like, will they, won't they? We didn't. And then we're in my car and we're playing rock, paper, scissors. And we just kept getting closer and closer. And then we kissed.
Mm.
It was super romantic. Anyway, here we go. Ready? Rock, paper, scissors, shoe. Okay, Phoebe's winning so far. Rock, paper, scissors, shoe. And Phoebe won.
Fuck yeah.
I'm never going to live this down. All right, here we go.
And it's literally on the record.
No recap.
Fucked up, dude.
Oh my God, it feels amazing. I feel amazing.
Man. Well, you're going to read the synopsis this week, which means I'll read the synopsis next week, which means you get to do the recap.
I think we'll still do rock, paper, scissors just to get us back on a schedule.
Totally, totally, totally.
Totally. Okay, so guys, this episode was a little bit wild, honestly. We start with a fucking bang. We've got someone in a black hoodie skateboarding like crazy.
like kickflips and everything.
Craziest skateboarding you've ever seen.
Except there are no kickflips.
No kickflips, and the one jump they try to do is an absolute failure, but they're going fast.
Yeah.
And the reason why they're going fast is because there's a big-ass black car trying to run it off the road.
And I'm a little bit like when I...
Oh, my God.
Longest
I'm putting you
ever.
To sleep.
I never, like, have... I don't think I've seen someone try to skateboard that fast. They're, like, literally, like... fan kicking in the front and the back, and I'm like, how do these skateboarders not break their leg? I guess like professional skateboarders aren't ever necessarily in a chase situation.
Yeah,
but this person is literally like,
whoa. But they are trying to build speed because they're like,
I know,
doing,
but I'm like, how are you
jumps?
Not breaking your leg? The physics of it just like, they don't add up to me. And anyway, so the black car is behind this person. And there's almost a car crash because a car like backs up and almost hits the person. And then it becomes clear that this big black car is really trying to run this person off the road.
Yes. They swerve around the other car, the obstacle, and continue driving after the skateboarder, who eventually ditches the skateboard and runs like behind the high school.
Like basically lets the skateboard like hit the curb and like catapults themselves off
yes.
of the skateboard into the bushes. But I've never seen or played the game GTA. That's Grand Theft Auto.
Oh, okay. We love an acronym.
Famously, I do. That's why Oppenheimer came so easily to me.
Phoebe actually did what I suggested and went and read
right.
every acronym, and
yeah.
that was one.
So the movie was super easy for me to understand.
Something like a general knowledge, or maybe a little bit more than just a general knowledge.
Yeah,
of
Caroline
acronyms.
Came out of the movie like, I'm so confused, and I was like,
"You were like, okay, not me.
Well, I got it.
Not some, me. Ever some, heard of NATO?
Some of us got it.
Ever heard of OSHA?
Yeah, literally ever heard of NATO. What about the UN? What about the EU?
Ooh.
Anyway.
Anyway.
What about the USSR?
Back in the USSR. Okay, so anyway. I love that like you're on the singing thing now too. Because you realize life is just better in song.
No, I wouldn't say that's it. I think it's just a habit.
Today was a musical.
One of my least favorite Taylor songs.
I know.
I listened to an
Today
episode.
Today was a fairy tale. You were a prince.
Terrible. I mean, not terrible. I love you, Taylor, but die for you.
No, but that song.
But that one's just not for me.
Which was like written for Valentine's Day, the movie.
That me, Kat, and Pat all have very different, like, anyway, I listened to an episode where they literally, the first 30 minutes are just them Googling Taylor Swift lyrics and reading entire Taylor Swift songs because they can't figure, they thought that the lyric, they combined the lyric, I don't like your tilted stage and we all got crowns. They thought that it was something about a tilted crown. So they literally, I mean, instead of Google, they end up doing this later. Kat says hacking the mainframe.
Oh, wow.
When she Googles Taylor Swift crown and like tries to look at every song that has the word crown in it. But Pat is literally just Googling every song that he thinks it is and reading through every single lyric. And
oh
I was
God.
Like, I'm too busy right now to change what I'm listening to, but I am a little bit like, we didn't think we needed to cut any of this.
I know. I literally don't think they edit one single second.
I don't think they do either, unless they truly are talking about something that they can't talk about. Because they do say that a lot. They're like, we're going to have to go offline about that, which I think is so funny.
I know, but like, true.
And so.
Well, I was like, okay, the person skateboarding is A, because hello, black hoodie.
Right.
But actually, it turns out the person driving the car was A, and it was Toby Kavanaugh as A, which if you forgot, let me just herald you back to that realization we had last episode.
It wasn't even a realization. It was a revelation.
It was a reveal. Yeah. It was a bit, it was a grand reveal even.
Mm-hmm. And so but it is the middle of the night. And
yeah.
Hannah's,
and we have an even grander reveal.
Hannah's sound asleep until there's someone in the room. Bustle, bustle, bustle.
I
couldn't have put your money on who it was.
Guys, it's Mona. It's Mona normal. It's normal Mona.
The Mona we know and love.
She's not like radlified in this moment.
Radlified.
But
trademark.
My question for you, Mona. Or no, it's not really
Wait,
for you, Mona. My
Radley,
question for you, Hannah.
Imagine if Radley started selling t-shirts after for like their post patients that said radlified.
Ew, ew, ew. Love it. obsessed with it. So, Hannah. Hannah doesn't scream. She's like not even that alarmed.
Like, okay.
This bitch tried to kill you and your friends like over and over and over.
I'm with you on that. But also, if that were any of my friends, if I was living in Patton Hall on Belmont's campus and it was Mimi who lives two floors below me and I woke up in the middle of the night and she was in my room.
You'd scream.
I would.
Sometimes I wake up and I see my husband in my room and I literally start screaming.
Yeah. So like. Hey, Hannah, what?
She's not even like stunned. She's just like, hey, Mona. she's like, what are you doing here?
She's literally just like, Mona, what?
Yeah. And Mona's like, well, great news. I'm out. The doctors let me out. They said I should go back to school. What fucking doctor told you to go back to Rosewood High School, bitch?
She goes, wham, wham. I'm so sad. I have to go back to school.
Yeah. Mona. You need to move to a different state and start going to school there.
Maybe a different country.
Like,
maybe
you don't need to come back
internet.
To the same school you were fucking at.
No, dude. And why
don't think
would
that's
you
be good for
to?
Your mental health?
No, certainly not. And something tells me she doesn't have very many advocates for this except for herself.
Yes.
And so then Hannah's grandmother is there, I guess, because Ashley's on a freaking conference. And she says, Hannah, who's in there with you? And then Hannah says, no one. I'm just reading out loud.
But it's so, she goes, no one. I'm reading out loud. Like the way, like the, it's so fucking
funny.
It's like
she thinks about it, but you know when you have a thought that like you've thought about, but it just kind of rolls off the tongue. Loud.
It just doesn't sound like totally natural.
Yeah, but like your brain also did. It's the first thing your brain thought of, and it came out immediately.
Why didn't you just say you were on the phone? Why didn't you just say you were on the fucking phone?
Maybe Hannah reading out loud was more realistic than her being on the phone at 3 a.m.
She's like, I'm sounding it out. I'm sounding out the words.
Yeah, these are kind of big words. Thank you.
I'm reading Harry Potter, okay? And the spells, I'm sounding them out phonetically like I learned, like I was taught.
Exactly.
And we don't get any Ashley Mara in this whole ep. It's just Hannah's grandma who is something? A hoot and a half.
I didn't really miss her.
I didn't either because... Grandma was such a riot, a laugh riot. So Emily's dad is back. Wayne, has he been? I mean, we just haven't seen him.
Yeah, it's hard to say when he got back, but we haven't seen him in a while. So
I'm like, Garrett?
I think he came back when all the stuff happened with Nate / Lyndon.
And so now Garrett's like out and about, and or no, Garrett's.
Y'all, if you could see the look that I just gave Caroline when she said that. Holy shit. Literally, he is the opposite of out and about.
Sorry, I was looking at what I wrote, which was they let an innocent man out and gave him no protection.
So Garrett's out and about.
Garrett is dead, but Garrett's formerly was out
life,
and about.
Loving life.
Loving it from above or below. he is dead. But before he was dead, he was out and about.
Do you remember the scream that Caroline name. Scrumped when she saw his lifeless body?
scrumped.
Ew.
Anyway, okay.
You took it too far.
So Garrett's mom, though, called Wayne, which is...
their neighbors. Girl, they're burrs.
Does Pam know about that phone call?
No, they're just burrs.
Anyway, she's going after the police.
I'm going to say that from now on.
What?
Instead of neighbors, we're just burrs.
Okay. Okay, you can totally do that. And Emily's like, what the fuck, I don't think he's innocent, basically,
right?
And also they have a new security system.
Major. It's very CCC Chris Connell coded.
Guys, guess what Aria's wearing? You can't. I had to rewind it because I was like, I like had to write down every bit of it. So here's what we've got: a white and black leopard print bandage miniskirt. Tucked into that, we've got an orange like faded tee that's got...
At first looks solid when we see it the first time.
Yes. It's got like leopards on basically her boobs on either side tucked into the leopard print skirt. Then we have a vertically striped black and white blazer on top of this. And then we have a tortoiseshell necklace. And for once, no nail polish. Perhaps the most shocking detail of all. That's what she's wearing. That's what she... And she's getting coffee with Spencer before school, and that's what she's wearing. But like basically, Spencer thinks that Mona could actually help them figure out like what...
Yeah, and Sparia's beefing because Spencer... rightfully so, wants to like ask questions about the whole Byron Alley situation. Yeah. And Arya's having none of it.
Very defensive of Byron.
And I'm like, why?
Literally, why? And we're right. And we're right. And that gets proven time and time again.
Story of my life.
So then Mona like left cookies for Hannah, and Hannah's grandma found them, and she was like, I think you should like give her another chance.
Her grandma does say, is this that Mona? And it's like, how many Monas has Hannah known in her life?
Yeah. And also,
it was her best friend for a long
Mona,
time.
Yeah. Yeah. So she's like, I think you should give her another chance, which is an insane thing to say if you love Hannah at all. Do you agree?
Yes. And then she goes on to say, we had some crazy people in our family.
And tells us like horrific story about a cousin that they had who like decided he was going to feed his parents like cereal, but instead of cereal, it was going to be rusty nails with milk. And then when they refused to eat it, he took handfuls of the rusty nails in his hands and squeezed until his hands started bleeding.
Hey, two questions. Who wrote that line? And second of all, who said, yeah, let's keep that in?
And third of all, why are we telling this story?
Because this cousin apparently
got
better.
No, I know. But like, no. We're not going to... Let's not encourage Hannah to go be friends with the girl that hit her with her fucking car.
And like, Hannah is one of the most compassionate people. And
yeah.
Her grandmother
and
mother
have to know
that. So like She's like, yeah, I should see the good in people.
Yeah. And so,
you know who would have loved the Barbie movie?
Hannah Marin. Got it. And you know who would have loved to see it with Hannah Marin? You and me. Imagine. That's my dream blend rotation. You, me, Hannah Marin, the Barbie movies.
Wow. I can't believe you just put me in one of your dream.
Well, it wasn't a real one. Okay. It was just like an off the cuff one, but.
Right. And so then we go to school and it's everybody's arriving. Emily's rode her bike there. And Emily thinks they should try to be friends with Mona.
All these opinions we have are so weird. I cannot wrap my head around how Mona is allowed to be back on this campus, how she wants to be, like, why? I mean, I understand if she's still working the A team, why she would want to be there, but it just seems
bad.
Unrealistic.
It wouldn't be allowed.
This is taking me out of it. This is a little bit hard to believe.
And what takes me out of it more is the sympathy card that ends up being used. Yes. Like, everybody ends up feeling for her. And so Mona arrives, and again, we're getting like a little bit of tension between Spencer and Aria, because Aria's like, no, yeah, talk about my dad behind my back.
Yeah.
And all this stuff. And Spencer's like, okay, well, you don't want to talk about it, but we need to talk about
it. Right, right. She's like, don't you like want to know?
Like, I do, and we all do.
And also, Aria, since when are we like Team Byron? Like, come on.
That's because she's allowed to not be Team Byron, but nobody else is allowed to be not Team Byron.
Whatever, give me a break. So, turns out there's a new substitute teacher here today.
Which we knew before.
Not just today. One of the teachers is out on maternity leave. So, fucking Meredith is Aria's new teacher. I'm sorry. I do feel bad for Aria. That is horrible. So, Phoebe's like really taking her fucking time putting her hair up. Oh my god.
Sorry. Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, I just feel bad. I think that's like terrible. And I think it's horrible that Byron, what do you keep pulling out of your fucking mouth?
I think fuzz, dude. I don't know.
Okay. I hope your hands are clean.
They're clean enough.
That means they're not. Anyway, that's not true. Anyway. I think this Byron should have been like, no, didn't he like help her get this job?
That's unclear. I mean, Ella didn't say anything. I feel like the school has no way of knowing.
But like, also like here. Byron knew she was going to be there.
But I don't know why the thing that makes me scratch my head is Meredith. Why do you want to teach in the school right now?
It's so bizarre to me. And I feel bad. Like, Aria is so blindsided. Like, she literally is like, wait, she's my fucking teacher, like, from now to the end of the year.
Yeah. And so she's texting in class, and Meredith just, like, completely singles her out, takes her phone in front of everybody, and then calls her to stay after class. And then all the girls stay after class. And she goes, all right, since you guys travel in packs, I'll say this in front of all of you. And she, like, reprimands Aria and then keeps her phone towards the end of the day because she thinks that Aria was... She's like, this is history class, and it's not your history. It's not my history class.
Yeah, and she like went through Aria's phone, so she saw what Aria was texting. She says, I saw what you were texting. And yeah, this is American history, not my history. But like, also, I want to say that's also Aria's history. Like, yeah. She fucking found you and her dad. Have a little bit of empathy for her. If you like Byron so much and you want to be her stepmommy, you better figure it out, bitch. Or you're going to be like the other Meredith. Maybe that's why she's named Meredith. Meredith from Parent Trap. Yeah. Yeah. So Mona goes to her locker. Hannah's walking with her. Opens her locker. What her wondering eyes disappear, but an actual cow brain stuck to her locker. Sorry, with a knife. A knife has been stabbed. I don't even know. What is that? Pinned to her locker with a fucking knife. And then there's a note that says, takes one mad cow to know another.
Me to Caroline at the end of every podcast episode. Takes one mad cow to know another.
What does it mean to you?
We're both mad cows.
We're all mad here. Don't call me a cow. How dare you?
Hey guys, I'm in a shirt that says we're all mad here.
Phoebe came in with a hat because she's copying me from last time.
Yes. And I was like, well, if Caroline has a Birkin bag, I need to have a Birkin bag. All right. So then Mona takes the brain. She's standing there with Hannah, and she opens the locker, and the brain's there, and she takes it off, and then she decides to walk through the entire fucking hallway, holding it like she could stab anybody at any given moment. Everybody has their phones out filming her, and then she just slams it down so the brain falls off of the knife, and it falls in the trash can, but she's still holding the knife up at everybody, and Lucas is watching it, and we see that. And then after, like, an uncomfortable couple seconds of her holding the knife, she drops that in the garbage. And then we see Jason also standing there watching. And then she marches back, grabs her books, and runs away.
She also walks over to Lucas and, like, whispers something to him. And I literally thought she was about to kiss him on the lips, which would have been so fucking funny. Would have been, like... In fact, I wish that she had.
When... Does Judas kiss Jesus?
Yeah, betrayed him with a kiss.
Yeah, that's kind of that vibe, like in the Lady Gaga song.
Yeah, but I like the idea better as if she just walks right up to him and plants one on him and walks away. And everyone's like, what the fuck? Like, the whole scene. Is this like some
weird game that they have with, like, each other?
What the this, like, hell? Like, hot can you just ask her to prom? Like, what the fuck was that? Anyway, so then Lucas walks away and he's limping.
Like, badly.
Yes, it's quite noticeable. So then again, Aria and Spencer are fighting. And Aria says, they're talking about, like, dissecting shit because obviously that's where the brain would have come from. And Spencer's like, oh, well, Aria, like, didn't do it because of humanitarian or because of vegetarianism. She goes, no, it was humanitarianism. And then Spencer's like, I feel like you're judging me. And Aria goes, I am.
Like, what is going on?
Aria, here? I'm judging you for eating fucking cheeseburger. Poser.
Yeah, never forget. It's like when your parents have a fight and you can tell that the fight's about something else.
Yeah.
But they're just picking on anything that they can fight about.
Yes, they, like, hate each other right now. But so they're in the bathroom having a team meeting. And then
they didn't check any of the stalls.
Ever. And Mona enters the bathroom and they're, like, kind of, like, feeling bad for her, which is for sure what she wants. And Emily says something to Mona, and Mona's like, oh, well, like, basically she's like, aren't you gonna thank me? Yeah. It's like, I helped you find the person Emily's who killed, like, your ex.
Emily says, we wouldn't do that. We wouldn't have done that to you. And Mona goes, I know. Why would you?
Yeah.
When I helped you.
Yeah. She's like, yeah, I helped you out. I did you a favor. You don't recall.
And right before this, they're in the bathroom, and Hannah's like feeling bad about everything, and Spencer's like, we feel bad that someone put a cow brain in her locker. She ran you over, Hannah.
Literally. The amount
she put
of
Aria
things,
in a box.
She, like, drugged you guys. Like, she, like...
She trapped Emily in a barn where carbon monoxide was pouring out.
Literally tried to kill you all, like, multiple times. So, I'm kind of good on feeling bad for Mona.
Yeah.
But then, Hannah and Kate, or, like, they all... leave, and Mona's like, I know I have to earn your trust and blah blah, and they walk out, and Hannah's like asking Caleb to talk to Lucas and figure out what Mona and Lucas were talking about, and then they see Mona talking to the janitor. Well, guys, Longface is back. What is that place called? Rosebud Motel? No, that's what the Schitt's Creek one. What is
Lostwood Resort?
Lostwood's Resort. Longface, remember him?
Oh, how could I forget?
Still long. He's now the janitor at Rosewood High. If I'm the girls, I'm transferring, like, immediately.
Today's like his first day.
How scared are you today?
Imagine them having to go to their parents and saying, okay, so we need to transfer because there's this man who's a custodian. He was the concierge at this motel that we used to go sneak
over to.
Mona
had her lair.
That's where Mona's lair was. And we found it. We didn't tell you, but we found it because she was doing all this other stuff to us that we also didn't tell you about.
Right. And by the way, Mona is back at school now.
And it's because she was blackmailing us because Aria sleeping with her teacher, Emily had a girlfriend, yeah. Hannah was fat and stealing things, and Spencer was fucking her sister's boyfriend.
Yeah.
So that's really what's going, that's the 411. We need to be transferred into a Catholic boarding school ASAP.
Literally, that's what they need. Could I say literally anymore? Oh my God. So it's just crazy. I'd be so fucking scared if I was them. And then we have Spencer and Toby hanging out, and Spencer's like,
so we're going for a run later?
Yeah.
Dad's what? Dream.
Are we that fit couple now? So she's like, why couldn't you hang out last night? And he said he was busy or something. And, like, I'm sorry, Toby kind of has a little bit of a new attitude, in my opinion. And Spencer says, do you think that...
First of all, he's horny.
That's... Yes. Yeah. First of all, yes. But Spencer asks him if he thinks that Jenna, like, saw what happened to Garrett and thought she was next. And that's why she left. I guess she's not here right now. And Toby, like, gets very defensive.
How do these teenagers just get to, like, up and leave?
Where are you going?
And where are your parents?
Where are you going? Where are you going?
I was like two different people.
Where are you going? Where are you going?
Say it like Serena Vanderbilt's in.
Where are you going?
She says every go like Van Gogh.
Where are you going?
Like G-O-G-H.
Go. Where are you going? Why am I speaking in a full accent?
It's the Serena Vanderwoodson accent.
Yeah, I don't know. Toby, like, gets angry at Spencer.
Yeah.
For asking that question about Jenna.
And, like, that's important.
He's like, you're obsessed with her.
And it's like, okay, Spencer's obsessed with a lot.
Yeah, Spencer's like, yes, and?
That's, like, my number one personality trait is that I'm obsessed.
Where's the news?
Obsessed, period.
Yes.
And then she looks over her shoulder because Toby's like lamenting to her about how annoyed he is, and she's not listening to a thing that he says.
No.
Because she sees Mona and Jason hugging on the stairs of Rosewood High.
Mona is just making her round. She said, first day back, I have a lot on my to-do list.
Jason, you're fucking almost 30.
Why are you here, Jason? No, why is he at the school? What does he do here?
He's like a helper.
He's
with like troubled kids. But it's like,
he's a helper.
The thing with the Mona stuff, it's like if you are a person of authority at the school in any capacity,
you don't get to hug the crazy girl.
But also, you should have stepped in when you saw her, so that someone put a cow brain in her locker.
You don't just watch horrified at the rest of the 16-year-olds. I don't know. So they also, by the way, like were spying on the janitor and they saw that the baby face mask, like, was in this janitor closet, and then also he had Mona's bag, so not sure what's going on there.
Then we go to Aria and Ezra's apartment, and he's putting a necklace on her, ugly of course, and it barely touches Aria's like chest, and it may as well have been like she's a vampire and it was vervain.
She flips.
She like jumps out of her skin.
Yeah. And he's like, okay, what the fuck is wrong with you? You love an accessory.
She goes, whoa, 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 whoa.
Yeah. She's like, sorry. I just
slow your roll.
And they're like, I really need to go. I don't know, blah, blah, blah. And so she's being all weird because, like, this whole kid thing.
She's a liar.
And she, because she's a fucking liar. She walks out of Ezra's house and there's, an It's a Boy basket, like a, they would get a new mother.
And the A is highlighted red, and Aria chooses to do something interesting, and that's to stand still. And she reads the card, takes her time with it.
You know how fast I'd be moving?
Oh, my God. It says, the card says, babies grow fast, lies grow faster. When are you going to talk? Or something like that. I kind of just made that up, but I do think that's what it said. And then we go to the brew, and Aria has another really weird moment.
She threw it away, by the way.
An existential moment where Caleb comes up and he's trying to like help with something. We found a file from when Mona's parents were talking to the principal. Thank God Caleb has all the passwords and can hack into the mainframe. And my favorite thing right now is hacking into the mainframe.
Yeah, you've said it 15 times
today. We find out that Mona is the one that wanted to come back to school, even though she told Hannah that her parents were forcing her to go back to school. The school and her parents thought that wasn't a good idea.
And the school and her parents were right.
Yeah, and I also would... I'm, like, tempted to think they have more power in the situation.
Yeah, you would think. But I guess when you're dealing with somebody like Mona, who's to say?
Yes. And so back to the existential crisis is that Caleb goes to order coffee, and Aria's like, I just don't like lying to him, but I can't say anything. And Hannah's like, why? And Aria gets some attitude.
Mm-hmm.
And she says... because there's a little boy involved, and that little boy, and I told that little boy's mother I wouldn't say anything.
She asked me not to.
And then Hannah goes, I'm just saying,
Hannah's that, like, Jesus,
that little boy might really want to know someday. And then Aria looks at Caleb and is like, oh, that poor little boy.
So Spencer warns Jason about Mona, basically. She's like, why are you talking to her? Don't.
Yeah, because Toby and Spence get back from their run, and Toby goes, I mean, if fire up the jacuzzi, Spence?
Yeah, again, as Phoebe said, Dobie is horny. So Spencer like confronts Jason, who is not interested in what Spencer has to say. And then Spencer goes and gets in the hot tub, and there's like someone rustling around in the bushes, and she gets spooked and they have to go back inside.
Jason says the classic thing, which is, when I was in high school, a lot of people thought that that's who I was. And I know that people can change.
Oh my God. Hey. Guys, like, do we know? Do we remember? Am I missing something?
It's crazy, dude.
Do you guys remember what she did?
I've never understood this.
No.
But Mona does have to win over the general student body, and it is pretty easy for her. She just has to make a video. Yeah. And she makes a video, as Caroline said, very Dear Evan Hansen.
Mm-hmm. Where she's like, oh my God.
She's talking about how she was bullied and like everything that happened. You've gotta be nicer. All this stuff. And she's like, I'm just trying to learn and grow from who I was. Who you were is hard to learn and grow from.
Yes. And also like you.
Go do it somewhere
else. I'm sorry. Actions speak louder than words. It's going to take time. It just says bitch.
Well, you would think.
Well, yeah. But Hannah's grandma, though, has had a change of heart because she's watching the video and she says, that girl is more twisted than my toes, which is a horrifying thing to say.
Yeah. And then Lucas knocks on the door and does not want to come in. But Hannah insists, and he gives Hannah the rest of the money that he owes Caleb. Remember that storyline for once we're tying about. Up these loose ends. And Hannah's like, why are you limping? What happened? And he said, I had a really bad accident skateboarding. It's hard to explain.
So he was the guy that Toby was trying to run over in the beginning.
Exactly.
We think. And so then Hannah's like, what did Mona say to you? What's going on? And all Lucas says is basically that Mona didn't just come back. She's been back and she's been staking out Rosewood for a while. And that's all he can say. So then he leaves and they both say, I miss you. And it's gross. Aria's at home and Byron comes in her room and he's like, how was school? And he already fucking knows that Meredith was there. And he's like, well, I didn't realize like it was your class, whatever. But it seems like you're handling this in a very adult way. Meredith said that you and your friends were cautiously welcoming.
Which is, we know not what happened.
So he's fully like, she's fully lying to him, which I don't get.
Well,
why.
I think she's lying because she's hoping that she'll say everything was fine. And he will say, Aria, everything seems fine. And then Aria won't feel the need to say, well, Meredith was actually a major bitch to mm-hmm. me and my friends during
yeah.
school.
Yeah, maybe.
It's like a mutually assured destruction.
Mm-hmm. And then as Byron is leaving...
Yeah, I saw Oppenheimer.
I did see Oppenheimer.
That's another
kind of an
acronym.
Intellectual.
M-A-D. And then there's also WMD, Weapons of Mass Destruction.
Squamby.
When we went to the Sunflower Field, our mom just goes, Squamby. To get rid of one of the bees, and it did fly away. So she was like, you just have to say Squamby.
Squamby. It was so funny. Anyway, so as Byron is going to leave, Aria's like, wait a minute, Dad. Did you like Allison? Girl, what the fuck?
If this is Chris Connell, he's saying, who?
He's literally like, who? She's like, my dead friend. He's like, you know, like, did you ever, you know? And he's like, I liked all your friends. She's like, yeah, but did you ever, like, spend time alone with her? Aria, you need to... You should have thought about how you were going
to
word these questions because now, let me tell you, he's on the defensive.
You needed to have Spencer script this.
Absolutely.
Because she would have known that that's a dumb fucking question. Because
now he's like, oh my God, she thinks I'm a pedophile.
And she would know.
Yeah, she should be the expert on that. So he obviously gets a little bit weirded out and like leaves. Next, we have the marathon. This is what, by the way, I don't even think we've mentioned it, but like
that's
everybody's
like the big event
been like raising
episode.
Money and they're like running this marathon.
Yeah.
And Aria's running outfit is a like an oversized tee that's a gigantic skull, but the skull is also the American flag. And then a studded jacket over that and then capri leggings.
Here's what she looks like. She looks like a Facebook marketplace crafter who is ready for January 6th.
Whoa. Kinda. Wow, that was like so specific and also harsh
and spot on.
And most of all spot on. Okie dokie. And Aria and Caleb are like setting shit up and Aria is like, so do you like wish you had a dad?
She literally is like, and then she goes, oh,
like, sorry,
stupid question.
Sorry.
And Caleb has to be like, no, I mean it's fine.
He's like, well, I guess we're going to be together all day, so I don't want it to be awkward And now he it's 8 a.m.
But then he does take it to another level he didn't need to. He goes, yeah, I mean, I looked for him everywhere. At the grocery store, at the crosswalk, at the... In my sleep.
In my sleep. He goes, that's called dreaming. That's called dreaming.
And then when he was 13, he gave the fuck up because he was tired of being let down.
And he's like, but I'm happy with how my life
he
is.
He says that, and then Arya, like, falls backwards a little bit. And she's like, oh. And he goes, where'd you go to just now? And
she where'd you go just now? She's like, I had to go.
And she goes, somewhere else. You got this from here?
Wait, did that really happen?
Yeah.
Wait, no, it didn't.
No, I made that up. But you believed it.
Wow, excellent script writing.
Thank you.
Oh my God.
Greta Gerwig?
This is why we can't hire AI. Because
this is why we can't have nice things. Okay, wait, if that was my surprise song,
I'd cry.
It just happened.
In a bad way.
Seattle had, this is why we can't have nice things. And one other I can't even freaking remember.
Anyway, Hannah's grandma like runs up to the announcer and she's like, excuse me, who was singing the national anthem? And the woman's like, no. And she goes, oh, I will. And just like immediately goes into it. It is incredible.
And then she goes into the second verse.
Yeah, she's like, I'm not done. Hannah is like, whatever. Like,
she's watching my heart.
They're like, why is your grandma? She's like, don't worry. Don't fucking worry about it. Okay. Mind your own business.
This is going to be Caroline's grandkids.
Literally. They're like, because of course she is. And Hannah thinks that Mona was on the ghost train. So she tells the girls this right before the marathon. But Emily's not here. Emily's actually forbidden to leave the house after everything happened. She's Rapunzel locked in her tower.
I was gonna say, Wayne just watched Tangled and he was like, yes, that mother was like, Gothel that, was
she
on
had the
something.
Right idea.
Mother does know best. He, gets, he didn't finish the movie.
He's like, and I am your mother. So he like does the security system, whatever. And so Emily's at home for the marathon and he's about to leave.
And you know what Emily does?
What?
She hacks the mainframe.
Oh my God. Hacks the mainframe. You better be careful. If you keep saying it, you're going to get a tattoo of it. It's contagious.
Yeah, I think that's your problem, not mine.
I just said it's contagious.
I'm good. I got my shot.
So here's the thing with contagious things. It's like you don't get to choose.
I got my shots. Thank you.
Don't think so.
Weird.
Don't think you got this one.
Isn't it fucking embarrassing Caroline didn't get her shots? Caroline's not vaccinated.
Oh, you're pissing me off. Ew. Don't ever say that. I am vaccinated. Don't ever say that about me. You can say whatever you want except that. Keep my fucking name out of your mouth. Anyway, Emily is forbidden to go. So she's at home. And she switches her dad's phone with hers, which is brave.
Imagine.
Emily, your dad may have been in the army, but that was the bravest thing I've ever seen on this show.
Because
I would never do that. Oh my God. And she didn't even think, like, it was like spur of the moment. So she didn't have time to like cleanse the phone before she passed it on.
Mm-mm.
She trusts her parents not to look through that.
Like, what?
That's wild. So anyway, she trades them. So then she takes and also, what if your disarms dad does, the house.
What if your dad does get home before you?
I know.
On an off chance.
It's a flawed plan, but you
it's
know.
It's a field she's plan. It's not it. A she's working with plan. It.
So she does get out, and all of the girls are now breaking into Long Face's janitor closet,
and they find Allie's journals in Mona's bag,
which is
and oh now we it is confirmed in fact that Byron and Allie did have a little bit of a
something
work,
was happening
a work relationship.
We get a flashback, and it's Allie showing up at his office, and she's basically extorting him. She's like, if you don't give me X amount of money, I'm going to call Ella. And she actually does call the Montgomery house, and he like grabs her phone. Like, this is obviously to show us that he's capable of violence towards her. Like, he had anger towards her.
Yeah, and he's like, I'm done with Meredith. Hey, Byron, that's not really the issue.
No.
The thing that you're trying to cover up is that the relationship ever happened.
Yes. So she, basically, we see like there was this tension. And this diary is in the janitor's closet. And the janitor was writing a letter, but he thought the diary was Mona's because it was in Mona's bag. So he's writing a letter to Mona.
What is with all these fucking men?
I know. And actually, instead of just taking the diary as soon as I... Like, here's what I would have done, Arya. I found the diary. Okay, grabbing it and I'm running out of here as fast as I can. I'm not going to stand there and start reading it and wait until I hear a noise, someone coming down.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to get out before the noise fucking happens, bitch. I'm going to beat the noise. And then, you like, that way you just take it, take the whole thing. And instead she rips out one page.
Hey, why?
Just take the whole fucking thing. Now then, it's like even more, he could have misplaced it, but now it's obvious that someone's been there and like taken.
Oh, she's so stupid.
It's so dumb. It's and botched. So she botched it.
Always. She runs out and she literally runs into him.
Yeah.
And he's holding a
like big shears, pliers. Garden shears or whatever. And he like grabs the letter out of Arya's hand and he's very threatening. But then Toby shows up and like stops the guy and Arya grabs it back out of his hand.
Which
and
was bold, get away. By the way.
Yeah, it was a major risk.
Yeah, because he could have done anything.
With those fucking shears, dude.
And then they walk up and Spencer's like, Toby, how'd you even know we were down there? And he says, I just finished the race and you weren't at the finish line. What do you mean you finished the race?
You're Phoebe in jeans. Noted, yeah.
You're in jeans and a flannel.
And you're also, not sweaty literally at all.
Also, I think maybe you knew a different way. Fucking yeah. Traitor.
Traitor.
Fucking Benedict Arnold.
Disloyal. So as we get out, though, things are even more exciting. There's like an explosion and fire and screams, but everyone's screaming Mona. Did you notice that?
Yeah, Mona must have been in there.
Okay, but we found out that
fucking alibi.
Mona, well, maybe, I guess, but it was Meredith. There was a note left for Meredith that was like,
and
come back
Jason,
here.
I guess.
Oh, I didn't see that. But the girls actually think that the A is like framing them, which is really not what was happening. But there was a note that was like, come back here and get swag bags. So Meredith was directed there and then it happened. So it was like a targeted
And so
attack.
Meredith gives this. Well, Byron comes into Arya's room and he's pissed. He's bloody fuming. And he walks in and he's like, do you have a good time? I hate when he does his passive aggressive
shit. I know.
And it's like, obviously Arya's in trouble. And yeah. it's so annoying. And he says he offered for Meredith to stay with them. And she said no.
He just picked her up from the hospital. I'm sorry, you had no one else that could pick you up, bitch.
That's pretty telling.
It's giving obsessed.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I've always thought she reminds me of that girl.
Yes, me too. I think we talked about that
once. Yeah, because then we thought that it was her, but it's
Allie
a
Larder
actress.
Is her name.
But
anyway.
Byron is like, obviously she didn't want to stay here because your friends were so welcoming to her or something like that. Mm-hmm. And Arya's like, what are you talking about? And he pulls out the note that says that like had Meredith meet someone in the shed that led to the explosion. And Arya's like, I didn't write that. And Byron is not convinced.
Not convinced at all. And then she's like, okay, will you close my door? Like, I'm done. And he walks out and does not close the door. So she gets up and closes it, calls Spencer. Spencer calls her, I don't remember. And Byron is listening. And basically Arya's like, hey, set us up. And so he hears that. So the good news is he probably believes now that the girls didn't do it.
He hears that and he also hears a distrust. I think she mentioned something about her really believing the stuff about her dad now. And then Spencer's like, well, can you leave? And she says, my dad would literally never let that happen. And that's like when that's what he really cares about because he's a freaking freak.
Yes. So then we get the shot of Mona and Jason. And there's this last moment where Spencer goes back up to Jason and he's like, listen, I hear you. Like, I thought about what you said. She's like, great. She leaves. Mona comes out of the shadows and is like bandaging his wound. And it appears that he was stabbed in the leg with a screwdriver. It's like Clue by Arya Montgomery. He's got a wound that matches the crime.
And then is it just the AC? The A scene, A rolls up to this person's bike and like unscrews the wheel. And then this freaking nerd gets on the bike and starts biking away and it falls apart.
Yeah, I don't really get that one. Kind of lame. Kind of lame if you ask me. So that's the episode, guys.
Rock on.
It was a lot. All right, let's check out the synopsis for next week.
Mona Mania.
I'm obsessed with the title. Max. I tried saying HBO Max earlier and it like.
They're tired of it.
Yeah, it was like, sorry.
It's
not
like
here.
When the kid in your class decides to start going by a slightly different name.
It's like.
And it's like, what? But your name is this.
I know.
You don't have to go by something weird.
I can't. All right, season 3, episode 15, Mona Mania. After these shocking events at the school marathon, no, truly shocking, though. Honestly, the explosion, I can't.
Imagine if that happened in my life in senior high school.
Oh, my God. That's like a terrorist action. Like, that's insane. Okay, anyway. And if Mona's there, like, I'm thinking it was her. Okay. After the shocking events at the school marathon, Aria, Emily, and Spencer are more certain than ever that Mona is up to her old tricks. Hannah, still holding out hope for her former friend, is not so sure. Aww. Hannah, I love you so much. And you're so perfectly flawed because this is just you being empathetic and being a good friend and believing the best, wanting to believe the best in people. But how many times has this burned us, Hannah? Come on. I need you to love yourself a little bit. Love yourself a little bit more than you are right now.
Yeah.
And that's a message for everybody. I need you to love yourself a little bit.
Yeah.
What would Barbie do?
Yeah.
That's the question.
Have an existential crisis and then go to a gynecologist appointment.
And then be like, I'm just going to be me. I'm just going to do me, and that's enough, and I'm enough. We love it. Okay, guys. Well, thank you so much for listening. As always, we would love to see you on the Patreon. We've got our Gossip Girl episode is out. If you're listening today on Thursday, it is out today, which is very exciting. And we've got a whole new lineup of Patreon episodes coming next month. Please don't forget to rate and review, subscribe, follow us on social media, and we will see you next week.
And splat.